Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Let's just bow our heads for a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have this morning to be here in this parish church, to offer our prayers, to sing our songs of praise, to hear the scriptures read and your word proclaimed. And we just ask, Lord, that now, through your Holy Spirit and by your good grace, you'll speak to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are today on the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. But according to our lectionary, this is also the Sunday when we consider the presentation of Christ in the temple, because it's the closest Sunday to the 40th day after Christmas, which is actually this coming Friday, the 2nd of February, known and observed by many in higher church circles as Candlemas. It's a tradition that is based upon the biblical understanding that 40 days after the birth of a baby, a Jewish woman should go to the temple in Jerusalem and offer sacrifices for her own purification following childbirth, and in the case of a firstborn son, present him to the Lord. Apart from the subsequent story of Jesus being lost as a child, it marks the end of the infancy stories of Jesus in the gospel narrative, and therefore becomes the formal end of Christmas. Indeed, many high churches tend to take their Christmas decorations down at Candlemas rather than the Twelfth Night associated with Epiphany. But why is it called Candlemas? Well, in order to understand that, we need to appreciate the context. And strangely, I think we get a better understanding of this if we pause for a moment, step outside of the passage, and consider our own day and age. I don't know about you, but when I look at the news and hear the things, or see the television, the world's events seem to me to be rather dark. Not only do we have the terrible conflict going on in Gaza between Israel and the Palestinians, with the ripples of that particular conflict stretching far and wide, but we also have the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, causing immense suffering and with huge implications for Western democracies and the freedoms that we currently enjoy. Who would have thought that we'd even be talking about volunteer armies and possible conscription in the UK and Europe in our modern day and age? And of course, politics itself is far from certain here and abroad. Yes, the world can seem very dark to us today, just as it did for those living in biblical times. Under Roman occupation, the world was not a good place for them to be. What is required in such times is for men and women of good faith to continue to be just that, to be men and women of good faith, holding fast to all that is good and expressing it in their faithful devotions. And that's precisely what we see here. Despite the turmoil of the world in which they lived, Mary and Joseph continue to express their religious faith by doing what the law required. On the eighth day, they circumcised their baby son and they called him Jesus, just as the angel had told them. And then, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Actually, this we know to be a concession to poor people. But still, it was a sacrificial expression of their love, their duty, and their faithful religious devotion. Right in the heart of the temple, And it's at this point that we are introduced to another faithful individual, the elderly priest called Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Three times in this short passage, we're told that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, leading him and guiding him to be in the temple at exactly the right time and place to meet Mary and Joseph when they came in with their baby son. And overjoyed, this elderly priest takes the child into his arms, and praises God. For knowing that the child is called Jesus, which means God saves, he declares, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And there he is, literally holding the baby, the Lord's salvation, in his arms. For Simeon was righteous and devout. And despite the turmoil of his world, he'd been faithfully waiting, watching, and praying for the consolation of Israel. And this phrase, and the words which follow, in what we now consider to be the Nunc Dimittis, is riddled with echoes of the prophet Isaiah, such as Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13, where Isaiah speaks of God comforting his people. "Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion upon his afflicted ones." Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It's no wonder, is it, that Simeon can sing, because he recognizes that God is at work in this child. And Mary and Joseph marvel at what he is saying, because he is sharing wonderful truths with them, truths that they haven't heard before, truths that they could hardly imagine. Because although many people hoped that God would save his people at some point, perhaps a long way off in the far distant future, what Simeon brings to the table is something else, something different, something new, something immediate. Oh no, you don't have to wait for the future far away, because the Lord's salvation is here. For Simeon had believed the Lord's personal promise to him, his personal word, that he wouldn't die before he himself had seen it. And here it was. And so when he says, "Lord, now you can dismiss your servant in peace," he's not saying, "Okay, now I'm ready to die, I'm happy to pop my clogs." He's not saying that at all. Although we often take it that way, what he's actually saying is, "Thank you, Lord. My job is done. My job is done." For just as John the Baptist would announce the coming of the Lord in adult life, so does Simeon do the same for the infant Christ, proclaiming his worth and who he is. This is both scripture and prophecy fulfilled. For God always keeps his promises. He kept his personal promise to Simeon, and he would keep his greater promise to Abraham and the world in Genesis 18:18, that all nations on earth would be blessed through him. For picking up some more phrases from Isaiah, we have the words that we know as the Nunc Dimittis. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Echoes of Isaiah all the way through those familiar words. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. Just think of it. That includes you and me. A light for us. Isn't that wonderful? And how wonderful it is that Simeon, this elderly Jewish priest, should share his thoughts and his understanding that the Lord's salvation is indeed for all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And of course, Jesus would later go on to declare, and of course, Jesus would later go on to declare himself to be the light of the world. The light which John declares shines in the darkness, even though the darkness has not always understood it. And that's why this celebration is often called Candlemas, because it celebrates the coming of God's light into the temple and from there out into the world in the person of the Lord Jesus. This is the baby Christ's first time in the temple, but it wouldn't be his last, and it symbolizes so much more. That's why many high churches like to bless their church candles for the forthcoming year, that they might continue to represent the presence of God in Jesus, shining their light into the world. And of course, Simeon's story is backed up by Anna. In Luke's gospel, we often see that there are male and female characters. It's a very inclusive gospel in that sense. There's Joseph and Mary, of course, Elizabeth and Zechariah, and there is here Simeon and Anna. Another elderly, but faithfully, very strong, devout woman, who'd been praying and fasting in the temple nearly all of her life. A woman who acts as a second witness to everything that Simeon has said, at least as from the reader's perspective. How important it is to have a second witness in Jewish law. And the fact that this second witness is a woman is also a wonderful thing. A woman who witnesses everything that Simeon has said. But whereas he might have spoken privately, we don't know, to Mary and Joseph, Anna gives thanks and praise to God and speaks to absolutely anyone, to all those who are looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Some things are just too good to keep to yourself. You need to share them with the world, and that's what Anna is doing here. And where is she? Well, of course, she's in the temple. They're all in the temple. But at best, she and Mary can be in the court of the women. But it's most likely they're in that outer court, the court of the Gentiles. Why? Well, because the Lord's salvation is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel. It's a wonderful, joyful, festival moment. It's a great time. But then, of course, the tone of the meeting changes, because as Simeon blesses the family, his words also bring a note of sadness, because Simeon has to be faithful to the revelation that he has received and what he knows of the Lord. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Candlemas reminds us that our gospel story doesn't simply celebrate Christmas, but it anticipates Easter, because it's only when you hold the two together that you have the whole gospel, the gospel truth. Because a lower light shines in the darkness has to deal with it, and sometimes not very well. And the redemption of Israel that Anna is looking forward to, and indeed that of the world, only comes about when the Redeemer not only steps into our suffering world, but is prepared to take that suffering upon himself. A motion which will not only cause the rising and the falling of many, but reveal their hearts. And yes, there is a shadow of life and death and resurrection in there. And of course, in that painful process, it pierces Mary's heart too. But of course, at sad times like this, that's when we need all the more faithful men and women. Faithful men and women holding on to what they know to be true in Christ. Because following death comes resurrection for all those who believe. And with it, not only our atonement and our forgiveness of sins, but our reconciliation, our redemption, and our promise of eternal life. Not just for us as individuals, but for all those who believe, whether they be Jew or Gentile. And that's what we need to hold on to in our troubled world today. That actually all those of all faiths will come to see the truth in our Lord Jesus Christ and come to put their faith and their trust in him. And it starts, as always, with us, wherever God has called us to be. So let us light our candles, yes, but let us all the more be faithful to our calling. Not just in our religious prayers and in our devotions, but in the way that we conduct ourselves, and in the way that we live our lives, and the way that we express ourselves, and the way that we bear witness to Lord Jesus Christ. For in him we trust, the one who is not only our salvation, but a light for the world, revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to your people Israel. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.